Clanton was changing, and I was not happy with its direction. Like most small towns in the South, it was sprawling in all directions with no plan for its growth. Bargain City was booming, and the area around it was attracting every fast food franchise imaginable. Downtown was declining, though the courthouse and the county government would always draw people. Strong political leaders were needed, folks with vision, and they were in short supply. On the other hand, I suspected the town was weary of me. Because of my preachy opposition to the war in Vietnam, I would always be considered a radical liberal, and I did little to diminish this reputation. As the paper grew and the profits increased, and as a direct result, my skin grew thicker. I editorialized more and more. I railed against closed meetings held by the city council and the county board of supervisors. I sued to get access to public records. I spent 1 year bitching about the almost complete lack of zoning and land use management in the county, and when Bargain City came to town, I said way too much. I ridiculed the state's campaign finance laws, which were designed to allow rich people to elect their favorites. And when Danny Padgett was set free, I unloaded on the parole system. Throughout the 70s, I was always on a soapbox. And while this made for interesting reading and sold papers, it also transformed me into something of an oddity. I was viewed as a malcontent, one with a pulpit. I don't think I was ever a bully. I tried hard not to be. But looking back, there were fights I started not only out of conviction, but also out of boredom. As I grew older, I wanted to be a regular citizen. I would always be an outsider, but that didn't bother me anymore. I wanted to come and go, to live in Clanton as I saw fit, then leave for long periods of time when I got bored. Amazing how the prospect of money can change your future. I became consumed with the dream of walking away, of taking a sabbatical to some place I'd never been, of seeing the world. The next meeting with Gary McGrew was at a restaurant in Tupelo. He had been to my office several times. One more visit and the staff would start whispering. Over lunch, we again looked at my books, talked about his client's plans, negotiated this point and that one. If I sold, I wanted the owner to honor the new 5-year contracts I'd given to Davy Bigmouth Bass, Hardy, and Margaret. Baggy would either retire soon or die of liver poisoning. Wiley had always been a part-timer, and his interest in chasing subjects for photos was waning. He was the only employee I'd told about the negotiations, and he had encouraged me to take the money and run. McGrew's client wanted me to stay on for at least a year at a very high salary and train the new editor. I would not agree to this. If I walked away, then I walked away. I didn't want a boss, and I didn't want the local heat that would come for selling the county's paper to a large firm from outside the state. Their offer was at $1.3 million. A consultant I'd hired in Knoxville had valued the Times at $1.35 million. Confidentially, we've bought the papers in Tyler and Van Buren counties, McGrew said, late in a very long lunch. Things are falling into place. He was being almost completely honest. The owner of the paper in Tyler County had agreed in principle, but the documents had not been signed. But there's a new wrinkle, he said. The paper in Polk County might be for sale. Frankly, we're taking a look at it if you pass. It's quite a bit cheaper. Ah, more pressure, I said. The Polk County Herald had 4,000 readers and lousy management. I saw it every week. I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm just putting everything on the table. I really want $1.5 million, I said. That's over the top, Willie. It's high, but you'll earn it back. Might take a little longer, but look 10 years down the road. I'm not sure we can go that high. You'll have to if you want the paper. A sense of urgency had arisen. McGrew hinted at a deadline, then finally said, "We've been talking for months now, and my client is anxious to reach a conclusion. He wants to close the deal by the first of next month, or he'll go elsewhere." The tactic didn't bother me. I was tired of talking too. Either I sold or I didn't. It was time to make a decision. "That's 23 days from now," I said. "It is." "Fair enough."